Tom Brady flirts with unretiring yet again, and we continue our draft coverage with tight ends and running backs. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast. It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fumble Rooski Podcast by Power 88 and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm Adam Wright with CJ Medeiros. We are another day closer to that coveted day, which is draft day. I think it's about roughly 2 weeks away. It's right as of right now, it's
April 12th. Days.
So just under 2 weeks away. We're almost there, right around the corner. Then we have some summer. We have the summer, which is a pretty big dead spot in the NFL, but we have plenty of stuff for you guys to hold you guys over until the NFL season starts, which is what we're all waiting for. So we will get to our draft coverage in this episode. We're going to cover tight ends and running backs, but I wanted to get to this juicy rumor. So Tom Brady has flirted with retirement yet again. So the issue with him is he already came out of retirement for a year. Technically he never left the game after 2022 when he retired. He just came back. After 2021 when he retired, he just came back for a season and just changed his mind right before free agency. But when asked, he said he wouldn't be opposed to coming out of retirement if any sort of injury came up. I'm trying to find the name of it. It was called Deep Cut Podcast, the podcast that he was on. It was a simple question. He was asked, if somebody made the call, you answering? And are you seriously considering coming out? Pretty simple. And he said, I wouldn't be opposed to it. He said he's not sure if they would let me, since he's quite literally the owner of a team now of the Vegas Raiders. But if he could, he said he'd be open to it. I know we have a couple of angles to take on this. So CJ, I'll let you take the lead on the beginning part.
Well, it's times like this that I wish our co-host Justin Tucker were here, where he would say he better not go collect. You got to stay home, go collect them AARP checks. I said that for you, Justin. If you heard this, please be proud of me. But all jokes aside, no, you better not, Tom Brady. And I think, is a problem or a symptom of a larger problem in this league. How many times do we see this? I feel like it happens less than it feels like, but the fact that it happens at all is aggravating. You have a player that retires, spends a year from the game, and says, hey, I'm coming back. No. My answer is no. It's just cheapening what retirement actually means. You know, you're supposed to be done. Just stop coming back. It's like, why? I don't know, of course you come back. It's never really the same. And do I think Brady can still play at a high level? Yes, I do. I genuinely think if he comes back, he's still going to be a top 10 quarterback just because it's Tom Brady. The man has gray in his hair, and I still think will be a top 10 quarterback. He's literally just built different. However, yeah. There's a fatigue. You know, and you can't blame fans just having the fatigue of, wow, another star retires and then just awkwardly shuffles back into the league. Like, what does retirement mean anymore? And I know the fans are going to hate this, but I genuinely believe that there should be a rule that says once you retire, no ifs, ands, or buts, don't care what age you are, don't care what pushes you into retirement, you stay retired. Because it's just tiring. It really is. And the worst part is how the football media capitalizes on it. They're just like, oh, now we get to flood the offseason of these big will he, won't he rumors. Is he going to come back? And, you know, honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if they were purposely pushing this just to create some storyline so that they can keep the money flowing in the offseason, which I understand doesn't mean I can't find it annoying.
Yeah. So I can name three major cases where a player retired and then unretired. One is the obvious one, the one we're talking about, which is Tom Brady. The other is his former teammate, Rob Gronkowski. He retired for a year. Clearly, it was out of spite because as soon as Tom Brady changed teams, he said, you know what? I'll go and play for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers now. And then there's Brett Favre. Outside of that, and maybe I'm missing one, CJ, but
Marshawn Lynch.
Who?
Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, Marshawn Lynch. That's not that much.
Yeah, I suppose. But at the end of the day, I just hate the media circus around it. And that's why they do it. They do it to generate a story. They do it because, not because they want to come back, because they want the spotlight. Not because they think that they can still play, because it gets more eyes on them. And as a fan that sees through it, it's literally just tiring. I don't care. Just stay retired. Go be the owner of the Raiders, which I don't even think you're allowed to play if you're an owner. So let's just hope they don't change that. So just be an owner. Go be a broadcaster. Just come on.
But here's my question. Is that going to be enough? That reasoning, is that going to be enough to be able to actually ban coming out of retirement? Like, what harm does it may be a little annoying?
What reasoning is? It's just an opinion.
Sure, but why? So is that good enough reasoning to say for the league to actually take action? You can have that opinion if you want. I'm not saying that you can't. I'm saying, what is that realistically enough reasoning for the league to come out and say, once you guys are done, you're done. No coming back.
Well, yeah, I feel like it's just common sense, honestly. Because when players come back, I mean, I feel like Brady, if he did come back, would be the exception and not the rule. Because when they come back, they're just not the same. And this is true. Also, it goes more than just beast mode. You know, Favre did it. In fact, he did it twice. Also, want to know what else has happened? Randy Moss did it. He retired in 2010, and he came back in 2012 with the Niners. Do you remember Moss on the Niners? No, you don't.
So why does it matter?
Or there's more. Ricky Williams. Remember when he came back and where he retired in 2003, came back to the Dolphins in 2005? Or Deion Sanders with the Ravens in 2004? Panthers, Reggie White? Who wants this? It's just watering down the game.
Well, those players don't have the spotlight by that time. Or even better, they do. And it's good for everybody. I mean, Tom Brady still flirted with 5,000 yards in his age 45 season. Now, do I agree that Tom Brady should have retired? Absolutely not. I don't think he should have retired at all. I think he should have played through his age 45 season, as he had been saying for the past decade. That had been a goal of his for a very long time. Nobody should be getting in the way of that. If somebody in his family was trying to pressure him and giving him ultimatums for something that has been a goal of his for however long, I don't think you let anybody get in the way of that. And had he not retired and then unretired and just played through that age 45 season, I think he would have had a better year. I really do. I think he caused way too many distractions for himself during that season that caused for him to not play at his absolute best. I saw his physical abilities were still there. If you are getting anywhere close to 5,000 yards, it doesn't matter how off you look. Your physical abilities are still there. I think it was a mental thing with him. And I also think this is another thing that's also on Tom Brady. I don't think he should have pushed out Bruce Arians. I think replacing him with Todd Bowles, I think those two were not a good combo. I think him and Mayfield worked better. But I think Arians and Brady just worked well together for the time that they were working with each other. Obviously, Arians had his issues, But I think they both had the same goals in mind. They were both trying to win right now. They were both trying to inflate their statistics. And I think that's something that Brady should not have done. I don't think he should have pushed him out. And that's also his fault. I'm not blaming coaching, saying, well, it's not Brady's fault. Todd Bowles is the coach that Brady wanted. Byron Leftwich was the offensive coordinator Brady wanted. So for him to have a bad year like that, that's on him. I put that entirely on him. But that doesn't mean he still can't play in this league. I don't think he should have retired. I think if he believed that he wanted to play, let him play. But I agree. Yes. Don't stop going on and off, on and off. That's affecting your mental state. I think he should have stayed this entire time. And if he really wanted to keep playing and go play for another team, go ahead and do that. Go ahead and do. No one's stopping you. And wasn't it the 49ers, apparently, according to some report, this is off the top of my head. Wasn't Kyle Shanahan trying to get Tom Brady out of retirement and have Brock Purdy sit for a year behind Brady?
I believe so, yeah.
That would have been a pretty good fit. I think that would have been, it almost makes too much sense. But I guess I don't hate it that much because I don't think Brady should have retired in the first place. I think if you can still do it, then keep doing it. If you're doing the sport that you love to do, I just hate players moving on when it clearly seems that they still have that passion for the game and they still have the physical ability to do it. Peyton Manning stopped playing because he literally could not play anymore. Right? Joe Montana was sidelined by injuries at the end of his career. Same as Dan Marino. Tom Brady? He's been blessed with some of the best longevity we've seen in professional sports. So do we want him to retire? Should he have retired? I don't think he should have.
Wait, hold on. Oh, do we want him to? Yeah. Should he have? No. But it's just, I don't know. Honestly, it's literally just my opinion. It's just tiring.
I agree.
And it's not because of any love of the game. It's not because of that competitive itch. I mean, for Brady, it very well could be, but for all these other guys, absolutely not. It's literally just because they want the spotlight. It's a selfishness. It really is. I feel like my issue isn't even really with the players. It's more with how the NFL media just continuously promotes this. And like I said, they play the big game of, oh, is he going to come out of retirement? It's just, we're tired of it. And we know they just only do this to generate money. And the players are getting a cut of it as well. So it's just, why? Just why? It's just unnecessary. Either do it or don't. Because if he was serious about it, he would just do it. Oh, not the so many likes and I'll come out of retirement. Oh, this and I'll come out of retirement. If he was serious about it, he would just do it.
I think
at the end of the day, this is literally just a nothing burger.
I think we agree on a lot more than we think here.
Yeah.
I don't think he should have come out of retirement at all. But I don't think it's entirely just for him to get attention because I genuinely believe he can still play.
No, I mean,
he still clearly loves the game and he loves to play. Right. And if he wouldn't be staying in shape, I'm sure he just loves to stay in shape. But I also think a big part of that is because he just loves playing football. Right. You can love football and not be in football playing shape. You can be in good shape. Right. Like I work out all the time. But if I were to run a bunch of routes, play football all the time, I'd probably get hurt right away because I'm just not built for that. I think that's the same thing with Tom Brady. He's in athletic shape to play football right now. Why do you think he's maintained that? That's not just to get attention. That sounds like somebody genuinely wants to play football. And it feels like everybody, ever since he committed that first retirement, has been trying to push him back towards the door, which I understand both sides. Shouldn't have retired in the first place. That's what I'm trying to say.
I mean, yeah, I guess just like, I'm not going to lie to you. I literally don't have any reason other than it's just aggravating.
Yeah. Listen, all I'm trying to say is I can bench a decent amount. I can squat a decent amount. I exercise quite a lot. It's a good hobby of mine. Am I in good football shape? Absolutely not. I'd get bodied because I just like hitting the gym. But Brady, he seems like an athletic shape that he can actually still play. He seems to still have the arm strength. He almost threw for 5,000 yards. Like, you're not washed up if you come anywhere close to 5,000. And if he played the rest of that Falcons game, he would have hit it. And he probably would have had a few more touchdown passes too. So I don't have an issue with it because I don't think he should have retired in the first place. And I also like the idea of a 47-year-old quarterback still being able to do it. I think that helps his legacy. And that could be something that also is intriguing him as well. All right. I do want to move on. We're going to get to our draft coverage. We're going to do tight ends and running backs. Tight ends next. That's next. This is the Fumbleroski podcast. It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumbleroski podcast by Power 88 and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm Adam Wright with CJ Medeiros. So we've just previously touched on that juicy Tom Brady rumor, which could turn into a nothing burger. He could end up messing around and becoming a 47-year-old starting quarterback in 2024. But without further ado, tight end prospects. The obvious one is Brock Bowers. But CJ and I, we have found a common theme with some of these tight ends not being complete tight end assets. If that makes any sense. CJ, do you want to elaborate a little bit on that?
Ah, fair enough. First and foremost, we found that dude. Okay, sure. I mean, you must be talking about the people that make the game system because there's no we. I'm playing with you. However, what we have found.
Just your analysis, come on.
I know. I'm playing. I could have whined at you and Kostic for ripping your Keon Coleman take from me, but we forgive. But we
I didn't rip it away from you.
Okay, no, that was more Kostic. You just kind of piled on, but that's okay. I'm just playing. But for real though, something that I and to a lesser extent Adam have found is that the blocking tight end is basically dead. Because we're looking at the top 5 tight end prospects. This is per NFLDraftBuzz.com. My ranking looks a little bit different. Number 1 is Georgia's Brock Bowers. Number 2, Texas's Jatavion Sanders. 3, Ohio State's, or should I say the Ohio State's, Cade Stover. Then there is Theo Johnson out of Penn State. And then Kansas State's Ben Sinnott. Yeah, not a whole lot of blocking going on there. In fact, all of their weaknesses, except for Theo Johnson, is blocking. For example, Brock Bowers, who is the number 1 tight end in this class. I'm going to where it says his weaknesses are. Ready?
I'm ready.
So they said he exhibits impressive physicality at the catch point, but the ability to consistently separate from top tier safeties could need refinement. As an inline blocking tight end, his size will limit him, potentially pushing him towards more of a flex position. The surrounding tight end room would need to be carefully constructed to complement his skill set. He says, quote, Bowers battle against physical press man coverage, limited release repertoire against safeties and edge rushers are concerning. Encountering challenges against robust defensive lines, be it through chips or actual blocking, and him lacking a wide array of release moves could hinder his effectiveness. Now, keep in mind, I'm ad-libbing a bit because that's not exactly what it says, but I've read a bunch of things for a bunch of different people, and I'm filling in the gaps. So, not a whole lot of physicality or blocking going on there. And let's move to Jatavion Sanders out of Texas, who's a prospect I love. Weaknesses: encounters difficulty when facing elite collegiate receivers, elite collegiate edge defenders at the line and less suited for traditional tight end blocking roles that require consistent inline play. Interesting. And next, the Ohio State University's Cade Stover. You know, I'm just going to save you the quote, brother man can't block. And then Ben Sinnott out of Kansas. You want to guess what he can't do? You want to take a wild stab? Oh, he can't block at all. But then we get a breath of fresh air, and that is Penn State's Theo Johnson. He is allowed to block. It says, quote, demonstrates superior blocking capabilities utilizing a combination of size, strength, and technique to dominate in the run game. And then there was one weakness, as though he's a formidable blocker, he just requires some technique refinement, and that's fine. Where if you have Bowers, Sanders, Stover, and Sinnott that are just like, yeah, they can't block. And it gets worse. When you look at the top 10 tight ends, there's guys like Dallin Hulker, Jared Wiley, Jaheim Bell, and A.J. Barner. Can they block? No. No, they're not. You're basically just big receivers. Then there's Tip Reman from Illinois, who's DraftBuzz.com's number 10. He can block, and thank the Lord that he can. But Adam and I noticed that the blocking tight end seems to be fading away as the NFL gears more towards the smaller, faster offense. That's all. I mean, obviously, it's not the end of the world, but it's just weird what the tight end position is becoming. They're literally just receivers. Just make them big receivers at this point.
And just rename the position an extra wide receiver. Just put an extra wide receiver on the field if you want to. I mean, everyone debates on whether or not Travis Kelce can block. And even if you can make the case that he can, they don't have him block anyways. They always have him lining up wide or running or just running out and running intermediate routes. Why is he a tight end?
Mm-hmm. And it's not just him. It's literally not even just Kelce. Kyle Pitts is another example. Well, when he's used, but they also don't use him on the line. Or Darren Waller. That man cannot block.
Like I said, he is quite literally a wide receiver. Like Darren Waller.
Darren Waller was drafted as a receiver, was he not? Like, unironically, he was drafted in, like, I want to say the sixth or seventh round by the Baltimore Ravens as a wide receiver.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, like, these guys, look, they're going to be some good playmakers at the next level. Don't get me wrong. And as prospects, I like Silver. I like Sanders. I obviously like Bowers. I like these guys. I do. I think they have a lot of potential. But it's just more indicative of what the tight end position has actually become. And it ain't a blocking one that much, I'll tell you. And it's almost like you get penalized for how good your blocking game is. Because as you move further down the rankings, you start seeing block first, run protection tight ends. And, you know, that's good, but it's like, it's almost like if you are a good blocker, you get moved down, which I always figured that's kind of stupid.
Yeah. The only one who looks like an all-around tight end is Theo Johnson.
And he's going to be a problem.
And the only thing I question is just his usage rate. Will he even be able to make enough of an impact in the passing game that he will be able to stay in the league? Because it seems like if you're just primarily a blocking tight end, you don't last quite as long. Because if you're just blocking, as far as we've gone to one extreme, why not just call him a wide receiver? If he's just blocking, why not call him just an offensive lineman? You know, you're trying to be you want to be the best of both. So that's the only thing that I'm worried about with Theo Johnson. With his usage rate as a pass catcher, when he's used to pass catch, he looks like he's pretty damn good. But can he be productive enough as a pass catcher so that he can stay in the league?
You know, honestly, I fully believe that Theo Johnson is going to be capable. I mean, I do. I mean, just look at how he is built. He's a physical freak. 6'6", 259, runs like a sub 4.6 40 as a tight end, a damn near 40-inch vertical. Like, I have every confidence in the world in Theo Johnson. He's just a freak athlete. He's good at, like, finding soft spots in coverage. He lives in the film room. He's a scary red zone guy. He's got good hands. It's just, for a tight end, I do agree with you, Adam. And this is one of those cases where, Stein, you've heard this one before. We might agree on a little more than we realize. It's just the tight end is supposed to be a blend. And obviously in the age of positionless offense, that might go by the wayside. But I just don't like how a lot of these good blocking tight ends are penalized for actually, you know, being good blocking tight ends. It's not like that's what they're supposed to do or anything.
Right. But like I said, in the same way that they're not supposed to just be wide receivers, just pass catchers, we also don't want them to just be offensive linemen either. So the whole point of being a tight end is you're a hybrid. You're a wide receiver and you're an offensive lineman. So that's something to consider, right? Rob Gronkowski was great, not just because he was a good pass catcher, but also because he could block. And he wasn't a great tight end because he could block, because he could also pass catch, right? He could do both. That's what we're looking for in tight ends. If we're looking for one or the other, then you're missing the whole point of having a tight end on the field in the first place. Just put an extra wide receiver out there or an extra offensive lineman at that point. Just name him a tight end.
The only continue.
No, just you keep going. I'm done.
All right. I was just gonna say the only criticism I have, and it's just a small one, of your point is so obviously, you know, we mentioned tight ends that are quite literally just wide receivers. How many tight ends can you name that are literally just offensive linemen? Like, how often does that happen?
Don't really see it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. All right. So I would like to – let's just move on to running backs. I know you had a couple that in mind. I know you have a kind of a similar mindset or similar outlook on the tight end prospects in the sense that these guys really aren't complete backs. They either have never been a featured back or they look like they would not last in the NFL physically.
Yeah. So here's the thing. The running back position, we all know what's happened to it in the NFL. We've spoken about it on this podcast. But that mindset is starting to trickle down into the world of college ball. For example, take Tennessee running back Jalen Wright, who I personally think is the best running back in this draft. And it's not just because his name also happens to be Adams' last name, although it is a good selling point.
He's the right guy for the pick.
Oh, you. So
I hope nobody tuned out from that terrible line, but.
Oh, and you'll be forgiven. So the thing is, he's good. You know, he's the best running back. He doesn't really have that many weaknesses, except for the fact he might need to bulk up a little bit. You know, his physicality is a bit of a concern, but he's still just an athletic freak. He runs low. He's one of those Le'Veon Bell type backs where he's patient. He's able to be agile in the pocket and just, you know, when he hasn't, just get to the line or get through the line. And he can fit in any kind of system. But then let's talk about Jonathan Brooks out of Texas. He's another top running back prospect. Here's a weakness. His sample size as a primary runner is limited. He has just a single season as a featured back. And the same thing can be said with Blake Corum. Granted, he was the big star over at Michigan, but he was also part of a system. He was, quote, not overtaxed with carries in college. Exactly. And despite that, he still had a knee injury in 2022. See, a lot of these guys are part of a system, and it's hurting them. You know, that's just – and Corum, look, I like Corum. He's personally my third best back, but – he has his own weaknesses. For starters, he's 5'8". He kind of reminds me of Darius Geis. He's a little guy who plays like a big man, and I don't know if his body's going to be able to keep up. And when we look at Florida State's Trey Benson, it's the same thing, where he is more of a feature back, but he was also part of a system in college. And it says he, you know, might not be more effective in the NFL. He might just get lost in the shuffle.
So let me ask you this.
What's up?
Out of these backs, give me first answer, which one you think is most likely to succeed. Give me one who's going to be overdrafted.
All right. The back that is most likely to succeed, I really think is Tennessee's Jalen Wright. And full disclosure, gang, I do not see a running back going in the first round. And I know a lot of people think the same way I do. In fact, I would take it a step further. I, for all intents and purposes, do not see a running back going in the second round either. I feel like if there is going to be one, there's going to be one that's going to creep into the back half, probably like within the last five picks of the second round. But I wouldn't be shocked if there was not a running back taken in the first two rounds. That's not an indictment on these guys, just how it is. But yeah, Jalen Wright is still my number one. And I can see a case for Corum and Brooks, but I don't know how well they're going to translate. Oh, but mark my words, there is a back that is going to be overdrafted. I really believe it. And that is Audric Estime out of Notre Dame. See, NFL Draft Buzz has him at 7. And I've seen a lot of people that have Estime top 3. I do not like him. Okay, well, I'm sure he's a nice guy, but I'm just saying as a prospect. He's a running back, and Adam is making a face right now, and I'm going to assume you're seeing what I'm seeing. Is it his 40 time?
Yeah.
Yeah. A 4.7140. I mean, his vertical's good. You know, he's like a decent-sized back. The thing is, he doesn't fumble. He's very reliable. He's a workhorse back. But how many workhorse backs have we seen? Now, I've seen him getting mocked in the third round, whereas in reality, now it's hard to say who's going to be overdrafted, right? Because this running back class is just weird. So, gang, do you remember what I said about the linebacker class? Flip that on the offensive side of the ball. That's where you have the running backs. You know what I mean?
What did you say about the linebacker class? Why don't you? Oh, yeah, you weren't on that. Our audience.
So, what I said about the linebacker class was that it's not very deep. It's kind of just a very class, not that many great guys. That it's ditto running back class. It's the same situation, you know, same crap, different bowl. And I just, he's a good rusher. He's not that great of a receiver. He's a pure workhorse back, kind of like a much slower Derrick Henry. That's the thing. And the Derrick Henry is now, look, y'all know I love Derrick Henry, but those kinds of backs, for better or worse, I'd argue for worse personally, are just kind of fizzling out. And if he gets drafted anywhere before, I would say, halfway through the fourth round, I'm calling it a reach, because his weaknesses are just scary. This man, he cannot extend to the next level. He can't hit that extra gear. His acceleration is lacking. It's just his breakaway speed is non-existent. He cannot catch balls. He's not a good route runner. You know, and you know, the NFL, not only is it transitioning to a running back by committee, it's transitioning to the receiving back kind of deal. Kind of like, you remember those old New England teams with guys like James White, Danny Woodhead, Rex Burkhead, Deion Lewis, you know, guys that catch balls out of the backfield? Not him. And it's just, he's not a blocking back either. You know what I mean? Which is weird because he's got a good build. You'd think he can block. Oh, but he can't. So he's just the guy, you hand him the ball, he runs. That running back, outside of Derrick Henry, and he's a notable exception. He's once again another case of the rule, not the exception. That kind of back has fizzled out of the NFL entirely. If this were 10 years ago, I'd say Audric Estime, he's fine. Yeah, just hand him the ball, he'll be good. But not anymore.
Right. So it seems like most of these prospects have some ups and downs. We don't have any blue chip prospects, as if you could even call any running backs a blue chip anymore. Well, no first round talent.
Yeah, no. I mean, not like Bijan last year, because Bijan was an undeniable talent. I mean, it's interesting about the running backs in this day and age, but Bijan can do it all. He's a decent blocker. He can catch out of the backfield. He can run. He can do everything you want him to do. He can juke. He can muscle you down. But those guys are becoming increasingly rare. And even still, just with how the NFL is, you don't take a running back top 10 anymore. And that's not a knock on the position. It's just how the game is advancing. I don't really like how the game has advanced that much, but these are just the undeniable concerns when it comes to draft boards.
Yeah.
And I mean, I would not be shocked if a running back does, and I'll hammer this home, I would not be shocked if there is not a running back taken in the first two rounds.
Yeah. And there are backs who past generations, we'll say, who are drafted today, who would become franchise players, like the quarterback position. But this isn't really that time of year. This isn't that time of in our history anymore, right? Like Leonard Fournette being drafted fourth overall. And then the year before that, Ezekiel Elliott being drafted. And then Saquon Barkley being drafted in that same spot. Todd Gurley, right? Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs. These are all great backs, but will they lead their team to a Super Bowl? If any of those backs win a Super Bowl, which Leonard Fournette did, this is the point that I'm going to make. If any of those backs win a Super Bowl, it won't be because of them. It will be because of the franchise quarterback that's leading them. Leonard Fournette only won a ring because he went from Blake Bortles to Tom Brady in 1 year. That kind of makes a difference, does it not?
Yeah, it literally does.
And actually, who was the Jaguars? Was it? It wasn't Leonard Fournette, was it? It wasn't Blake Bortles, was it? It was Gardner Minshew. Either way, stands.
I mean, same thing.
Saquon Barkley had Daniel Jones. Todd Gurley is the closest out of the bunch besides Leonard Fournette who did it. He had Jared Goff, but he went down with arthritis is in his knee. This is kind of the issue here, right?
I mean, that wasn't his fault, though. It really wasn't.
It's not his bad. It's not his fault, but it's also the nature of the position, right? The position, the running back position, ages like milk. It's not a good position to invest in. That's why we're seeing so few massive contracts nowadays, because they don't last very long. And also, even when it does last, in those good years that you get, you're not winning Super Bowls. You might make the playoffs a few times here and there, but you're not going to win a Super Bowl with them. It doesn't work that way. You need the franchise quarterback to do that, which is why quarterbacks always go early in drafts. That's because that's the position that you want to strike gold on.
Mm-hmm. Adam, you've said it yourself off the show, and that's because you're correct. Running back, while fun, is probably the worst position to strike gold on. You've said it. Actually, you've probably said it on the show, too.
I think I've said it once on the show.
The ROI is just not great. And by the way, one last thing before we end the show. I'll make it quick.
Yep.
When it comes to running backs, I mean, I know the NFL draft as a whole is a crapshoot. I'd say even more so than a quarterback. Projecting running backs is probably one of, if not the biggest crapshoot, because it quite literally now more than ever, and Le'Veon Bell proved this beyond a shadow of a doubt, it literally just depends on their line. It quite literally just depends on their line.
Yeah. Yeah, there's that too. I mean, Najee Harris has still been a solid back despite pretty bad line play. And I thought
– Doesn't even average 4 yards to carry.
Sure, but – He still went over 1,000 yards, and he still catches. He's a pretty good pass catcher as well. He's a good complete back. If he had better offensive line play, he would be a better back. But I think he makes do with what he has. Also, David Montgomery, during his time with the Bears, he had some of the worst offensive line play I've ever seen, but he kind of made do. And now that he's on the Lions, a much better offensive line, we're seeing him play better than we've ever seen him play. And him and Jahmyr Gibbs are a great 1-2 punch. I agree with you. Offensive line is huge, but I still think the offensive line, the running back himself can still make do. to an extent, right?
Yeah, to an extent, but how many top five backs have we seen that have had objectively like bottom of the pack, like terrible O-lines?
I guess Leonard Fournette.
And how long was he able to keep that up?
Not very long. Yeah, but he had that one good year.
Yeah, one good year. And please,
actually, two. He had 15. So he was out for most of 2018, but then 2019 he turned it back on. Then he was ultimately cut by the Jaguars right before 2020 started. Picked up by the Buccaneers. Better offensive line. He wasn't, by this time point in his career, he wasn't nearly what he once was, but he was still a pretty solid back. So, I think the line is a big difference maker. I still think you can make do, right? Leonard Fournette was still okay.
Yeah, I mean, and where did that get them exactly again? Can you remind me?
2017 AFC Championship.
Uh-huh. And, okay, 2017 AFC Championship. Did they win that again?
Nope.
Uh-huh. And
we agree on that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just saying that running backs can still put up good numbers despite.
I mean, they can.
That offensive line.
We yourself said he only.
It's not sustainable. I agree.
I think two is pushing it.
We agree with a lot more than we think. I agree. I'm just saying that you can still play well. Can you sustain it? Absolutely not. I agree with that. Offensive line is one of the most important parts of the field. Right. If you can't keep the quarterback on his feet, then you're not winning the game.
Understand.
More important than the targets that they have.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's all the scheduled content we have. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about before we end the show tonight?
Nope.
All right. Well, that'll be it for us tonight. Thank you for listening to us. We have new episodes out on Tuesdays at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time and 5 o'clock on Fridays Eastern Standard Time. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and so much more. Also, be sure to follow our Instagram at FumbleRooski_podcast and our TikTok at FumbleRooskiPod to keep up with our podcast and the latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Over and out.